Okay, Matthew chapter 26, and we'll get right to it. In Matthew 26, beginning in verse 57, it says, "And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. And Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priest and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, 'This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.' And the high priest arose and said unto him, 'Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?' But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, 'I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.' And the high priest rent his clothes, saying, 'He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy.'" We covered verse 57 and verse 58 last week, and so we won't revisit that. So let's read verse 59 again. It says, "Now the chief priests and the elders and the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death." So they've taken Jesus at night, we recognize, and they've taken him to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest. And present within this group that have gathered there was the Sanhedrin, which was referred to here in verse 59 as the council. That's talking about the highest court in the Jewish judicial system was the Sanhedrin, and they're like the Jewish Supreme Court, if you will. Last week we learned that the assembling of them in a private setting and at night was against their own laws. And it was, to start with, they were out of line there. And then also it's important to note that there was yet to be any charges brought against Jesus. There had been no indictment. They've arrested him, they're detaining him, and they've assembled for court, and there's been no indictment, no charge. And so they've got the cart before the horse. Normally you would have a charge, then an arrest, and then an assembling of a court, and then a trial. But they obviously showing their motives are wrong by going about this in the wrong way and having things totally backwards, okay? So verse 59 tells us that they sought for someone to witness falsely that Jesus had done something criminal. Verse 60, the first part of the verse says, "But they found none." They were looking, but they found none. Jesus was above reproach on every level, completely innocent of any wrongdoing. So the only possible way for them to carry out their wishes and prosecute him, and the ultimate desire and condemn him to death, was to have someone lie. That's what they were needing desperately. And that's how corrupt and evil the religious Jews had become at this point. It wasn't just corrupt in a judicial sense, but it was violating every rule of justice that was found in their Old Testament Bibles, their Old Testament law. The conspiracy to destroy Jesus was being based upon false testimony, which is a direct violation of the ninth commandment of the ten: bear not false witness, okay, or do not bear false witness. And so the absurdity of this whole thing is beyond comprehension. The Sanhedrin of all people should be desiring to discover the truth and not pervert the truth. But that's not the case here. The last part of verse 59 sums up their goal. It says this: they sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. The bottom line is, before any testimony was heard, before anything was ever even began to be done in the right way, legally, they had a desire and an end in mind, and that was for him to be put to death. They were determined to do that at any cost, but they're having a difficult time doing it. The first part of verse 61, he says, they found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. So they're having a hard time. They had drummed up some false witnesses, but they couldn't get their stories to align because lies are flexible, folks. And that's just the way it is. It's really a universal principle that you and I and everybody needs to know, is when stories are based upon anything but the truth, there's always going to be room for inconsistencies, because lies are flexible. But when the truth is being, when anybody comes with the truth and discloses it, and especially if there's more than one person and they're all disclosing the truth, then it's always lines up and it always reconciles and without exception. Why? Because truth is truth. It has no flexibility. It doesn't change. It's the same today as it will be tomorrow and the next day. Truth doesn't change. And so truth will always, truthful testimonies will always line up. So that being the case, they were never going to get an indictment that was based upon truth, because Jesus had done nothing. So they continue in their search for some sort of consistent false testimony, consistent to the degree that they could justify bringing a charge against Jesus. So person after person, apparently based on these texts, had perjured themselves, and yet they still haven't gotten anything that would work, until finally they found a lie that they could work with. And in verse 60 it says, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. But at the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. So they finally have something that they think he can work with. And though this testimony is what they're going to build their case on, it was also inaccurate. The actual words that Jesus said when he made the statement that they're saying he lied, that they're using as a testimony against him, is in John chapter 2 and verse 19, and Roy's going to put it on the screen. This is what Jesus actually said. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Okay, that's what he actually said. And that was a text that was making a clear reference by Jesus to himself, him being the temple of his body. That was what he was in reference to. In other words, he's saying, you kill me, and which he knew they would later do, and then I will rise again in 3 days. It was a prophecy is what it was. But here their testimony was that he said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it again in 3 days. So the falsehoods of their statement are so glaring. He didn't say, I am able. He said, destroy this temple, which implies basically saying, if you destroy this temple. He didn't refer to it as the temple of, as the temple, but he referred to it as this temple. Talking about himself, okay? Neither did he refer to it, as they said, as the temple of God. He just said temple. They added to it, that these false witnesses did. They said temple of God. He didn't say, I will build it in 3 days. Rather, because he was talking about his own body, he said, I will raise it up in 3 days. So they're totally, this what they're finally think they have that they can work with has holes in it from start to finish. It too is so out of line with the truth. They're on top of that, they're not able, or certainly didn't give any dates of when this happened, a time it happened, or where it happened. They're just saying, hey, he said this. which wouldn't hold up in any other court of law, but it did that night. They weren't anywhere near giving enough testimony to make a legitimate case against Jesus so that he could be tried. This would be thrown out by any legitimate court there was, especially a capital punishment case, something as serious as what they're dealing with here, wanting to indict him and put him to death. The truth of the matter is Jesus was morally and spiritually perfect. We know that. And had there been any fault in him at all, don't you think they would have found it? Because they were looking. I mean, they were looking. They wanted to bring him down. And so if it had been there, they would have found it. But his life withstood the most intense scrutiny that could be mustered up at that day and time. I mean, they had done their homework. They had, so to speak, all the forensics explored, and they couldn't find anything. So lies was the only alternative that they had if they wanted to convict him. And lies they found. How would you like to be the two guys that come together and made these false accusations and gave them what they have to work with? How would you like to be them when they step into eternity? They're going to be right on, basically on the same level as Judas Iscariot, just pawns in the hands of Satan that were used to murder the Son of God, and that's essentially what they were. And man, I tell you, unless they had a change of heart within the next few hours when Jesus was hanging on that cross, they had lots that lied ahead in the way of torment. Verse 62 says this, "And the high priest arose," now after having this this false testimony, finally a couple of guys consistently lied. Okay, verse 62 is, "The high priest arose and said, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" Keep in mind here, well, first of all, even the false testimonies that they've been given here were not enough. They needed more. This is a capital offense, or they're trying to make it. There's not an offense. They're trying to make it a capital offense. And so the high priest knew that just two guys testifying about him making a statement like that, that's not going to be enough. He wants to get Jesus to talking. And he wants Jesus to, he's desperate to get Jesus to incriminate himself. And so he begins to question Jesus, as we just read there in verse 62. And keep in mind, adding to the frustration of the high priest and those that were assembled with him was also the pressure to hurry up and get this deal done, to get the indictment, the charge, get the trial going, convict him, and get him sentenced before all the people that were in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas got out of bed. Because they were unlawfully doing this already. We covered that last week, the different ways that this was criminal and not in line with the law. So they're already doing that. But the last thing they wanted was for the public to get up in the morning and this be going on and somehow begin to get involved. And that's something they did not want to happen. They were aware of the love that many of the multitudes had for Jesus over the last 3 years of his ministry. They were they understood that. And they also, you know, though many of the multitudes had quit following Jesus over time due to the strength of his teaching and the demands that teaching made, the elders, a lot of people, but at this point, they still was many, many people still loved him and believed in him. And just a few days earlier was the triumphal entry that you and I know took place when he marched into Jerusalem, and they were shouting Hosanna in the highest, and blessed is he that cometh in and blessed. Okay, and anyway, Hosanna in the highest, I know they said that, and so that had just taken place. And so these powers that be do not, they're inclined to get this whole injustice done and wrapped up and final before anybody that was sympathetic to Jesus got up in the morning, because they didn't want any interference. If they could already get the conviction, then they could keep it under wraps enough till they got him on the cross, okay? And then it would be too late. And so want you to notice, he asked the question in verse 62. Now notice verse 63. Then Jesus held his peace. In other words, he was completely silent. There's an old saying, silence can be misinterpreted, but it cannot be misquoted. And that's exactly what's going on here. Jesus, he didn't say anything. And he held his peace, and that caused further exasperation, I'm sure, of the high priest. And it can really be picked up on in the words that he uses in the latter part of verse 63, because Jesus held his peace after the first question. And then it says in verse 63, the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And so he's basically, he's trying to get Jesus once again to incriminate himself. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 16, which was their Old Testament Bible, it's ours too, but it was the only Bible they had at that time. It said specifically that he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord shall be put to death. That's what the law said, and they knew the law. So the desire of the high priest here is to get Jesus to incriminate himself, to say something that would incriminate himself enough that they could charge him with blasphemy. If he's silent, then that's not going to work. And so he's pushing. He uses the most sacred oath that a Jew could take. He says, in the name of God, testify. In other words, tell us, in the name of God, tell the truth. And he's attempting to get Jesus, he's goading Jesus, leading him with this question to say something that would be construed as blasphemy. Well, if Jesus affirms what he's asking, though it be true, they don't think Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is going to tell the truth. If he affirms that, yes, he is the Son of God, then they've got their blasphemy. It's not blasphemy. We know the truth, but they would call it blasphemy. So essentially, they wanted him to proclaim his deity. And the words that follow, Jesus finally does break his silence, and so he gives them what they were looking for. Remember, the question was, are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God? In the first part of verse 64, Jesus saying to him, thou hast said. Now, if you were to look at the parallel passage to this over in Mark chapter 14 and verse 16, it says that he said explicitly, I am. So, in other words, are you the Son of God? Are you the Christ? And Jesus says, I am. So there they had it. That's what they were looking for. That's the blasphemy. That's what they wanted to be said in order to charge him with blasphemy. It's enough for them. But we know it's still the absolute truth. He is the Son of God. And so in their eyes, it was blasphemy, but in the eyes of God, it's the truth, and it's what's going to bring him to the cross, okay? They feel as though the indictment will be strong enough to put him to death. But it's not all over. We know that he still has to go before Pilate and Herod and all of this, but they've got their charge now. And they're going to pass the Sanhedrin, the council, if you will, are going to convict him. And then, it's, of course, the rest of it's a further song and dance until they get him on the cross. So we'll look at that next time we're together. We'll pick up in the latter part of verse 64. Appreciate you guys being faithful. Let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Okay? Stand up.